Douglas Copeland might be the poster boy for irony. Copeland's 1991 novel Generation X not only coined a phrase, but propelled him into the limelight as one of his generation's most influential and ironic writers. Steve Paulson caught up with Copeland to discuss irony.
I mean, this whole irony is evil thing, I just don't know where it comes from. I read this magazine article, and it sounds so apocryphal if you don't have the exact citation, but it said that only 20% of human beings are brainwired to understand or get irony. I guess it's like getting country music. Either you get it or you don't. And I guess I get irony. I think you do too. But I mean, the flip side of that is that there's 80% of the population out there who take everything at face value. And that's kind of scary. I mean, imagine living in the modern world and having to take everything as is and not being able to sort of contain opposites in your brain at the same time.
Do you think that's true? That 80% of people out there take everything at face value and really don't sort of approach life with some sense of irony?
Oh, I think, you know, once I heard that and I started looking for it, I think it's true. And I think that a lot of what we call personality is just hardwiring and serotonin levels and all that. And take punning. I think like 20% of the population puns. And if you're a punner, you love it. And if you don't, you go, ugh, like that. And people who pun, the thing about them is that they can't not pun. They have to pun. Their brain won't let them stop. And I think that if you're wired ironically, then you can't not be ironic. That's a double negative, but you have to be ironic. So, I mean, this isn't to buy into the culture of victimology or something. It's just, like, I think that's just the way people are wired. So, you know, it's like trying to explain color to someone who only sees in black and white. I don't even know if it's explainable. I know. You know what it is? People who don't get irony interpret it as sarcasm. You know, ironic people find sarcasm ugly and not interesting. So I think you really have to get into subclassifications. I don't think you can say ironic, non-ironic. I think you have to really tweak the definitions a bit.
So just to try to play out the distinction between irony and sarcasm, sarcasm is mean. I mean, there's something that's really sort of cutting about it. But irony is, I mean, at its core, it's a joke.
No, irony is a way of containing two opposites in your head at the same time. It's like humor. I mean, sarcasm is just, sarcastic people aren't funny. They're not. And by the time they're 30, they have a dead-end job, they drink, and they're bitter. It's true. It is a truth. You know, is irony some sort of form of natural selection? It's nature's way of ensuring that there'll always be a population base that wants to drink martinis and go to Japan and shop for ironic merchandise in Shibuya. I think it's just the 20% factor. There we have it again. I mean, when I think of sarcasm, I think of Lucy from Charlie Brown comics. And she's just this angry, bitter little child who hates everything. And that's not funny.
Is it safe to say that you are one of those 20% who's hardwired for irony?
I don't get irony at all. What's the deal? Steve, tell me, like, imagine if, again, this is true. There are certain people out there who literally, medically, biologically have no sense of humor. Like, they just don't get humor. And so you take one of these people and you sit down, you watch your favorite TV show, and they're sitting there with you, and you're making these like noises, and they look at you and say, what is this thing you call laughing? Why are you making that strange noise? You know, there are people who don't have a sense of beauty. You can show them the Grand Canyon at sunset and they'll go, it's just rocks and a sky. Why do you keep on saying it's beautiful? And I say to you, Steve, what is irony? I'm being ironic. Okay, you know, Steve, 20 years ago, Lily Tomlin invented this bumper sticker. It's honk if you know the difference between satire and parody. And you might as well update that to honk if you know the difference between irony and sarcasm.
Wouldn't you say that our society tends to use irony, perhaps even sarcasm, as a crutch, as a way to kind of get through life and deal with all the stuff around us so we don't have to take it too seriously?
No, I mean, I don't know who's throwing you your statistics, but I've never experienced a less ironic period in history than we have right now, and it's so boring. And, like, who are these people? It's like...
But just turn on the late-night TV shows, and you'll see it all over the place.
No, look at the numbers on those shows. No one really watches them. I mean, in terms of a percentage of the population base. No, I think society is getting very grim, very earnest, and we're no longer exploring a lot of the more interesting parts of our psyches and our soul just because, like, ooh, that Jebediah Purdy guy or whatever his name is, or Jebediah Springfield, is like, irony is bad. You can't be ironic. It's mean. It's like, oh, grow up. Come on. Like, you know, everyone's done scary stuff. You just come across like Ned Flanders or something. Like, hi, I'm only going to be true to my heart. But the guy's like 18 or something, so he hasn't done much evil stuff in his life. You know, send me a postcard when you're 40. How old's that guy? He's like 11. Oh, I'm so clever and pure. I'm Jebediah Springfield. And he'll hear that and he'll go like, oh, Doug's mean and bitter. No, I'm not. Just come on, lighten up, guy.
So that's partly what you're saying is that, I mean, that's kind of your impulse is to lighten up. And is that partly what you want with your fiction as well?
Good God, have we never needed lightening up more than we need right now?
You know, I was talking with someone about your earlier novel, Generation X, and I think you had a chapter in there, I Am Not a Target Market. And I was struck by how, in some sense, if you wanted to reject irony in a way, it would be to embrace what other people would see to be the target market. That, I mean, you would go out and buy nothing but IKEA stuff, and you'd feel good about that. And you wouldn't have any shred of embarrassment or anything like that.
Well, I mean, again, you have to remember that it's a very North American thing to cleave humanity, not at just winners and losers, but expressing yourself through shopping, expressing yourself through not shopping. And I think just because the culture is so mercantile that we like to play out our psyche in the marketplace. I did this speech to the Vienna Literary Festival. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. And the theme of that festival that year was money, money and writing. And I started the speech by saying, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here in Vienna tonight, the place where the subconscious was invented. And the audience went, ooh. And I said, oh, no, sorry, I meant where the subconscious was discovered. And I said, the subconscious is kind of like Antarctica because we only started going there in the late 19th century. It's very hard to get there. It's very expensive. And once you get there and you explore it, you're still not really much different as a person. And so you look at, you know, I'm not a target market. Like, damn it, I refuse to shop. Well, you know, big deal. You still haven't really investigated your psyche at any, you know, great deep level. So I just don't look at the world in terms of winners or losers, shoppers or non-shoppers. And yet everyone thinks I does. It's just weird. Here's an ironic thing, which is completely a new tangent. But for like 10 years, there was this weird web rumor that I collect meteorites. I know, and like, where the hell does that come from?
Yeah, right.
But then I got to thinking about it last year, you know, that's not a bad idea. And so I started researching it, and there's a, you know, the American Mineralogical Society, and you can buy meteorites of all kinds. And do you know where the best place to get meteorites is?
I have no idea. Antarctica,
because what happens is they bonk into the ice shield, and glaciers like these big conveyor belts, and they just sort of keep on dumping them. So you go around the edge with a metal detector, beep, and you find them all over the place. Thus, Doug neatly ties in web rumors, Antarctica.
That's a great story. I mean, to sort of take this not exactly salacious, but this weird rumor.
A random rumor
and to make it real, I guess. Well, you have to start collecting this stuff still.
Well, I did. They're great. They're beautiful. I mean, and I'm like, why didn't I start collecting these 10 years ago? They're perfect. They're beautiful little objects.
I'm getting a pretty clear sense of kind of sort of the ironic lens that you see much of life through. I mean, I think it's fair to say you and many other people. Is it hard just to sort of respond to things just with straight sincerity? Does that come naturally to you?
Oh, of course it does. But the thing about that is, like, you know, you can't spend your whole life eating nothing but chocolate. You can't spend your whole life eating nothing but broccoli. There's a time and place for everything. And if you spend your whole life trying to be like greeting card sincere about absolutely everything, I think you're being dishonest with yourself. I think that you're not properly examining your emotions or moods or your psyche. And at the same time, if you're always flip, if you're always ironic, then you're also missing out on, you know, part of life's banquet. So to answer your question, yeah, of course I can do things without irony. And so can that Jebediah Springfield 11-year-old guy. And I quite recommend that he do it, too, because, you know, the sincerity thing is going to get kind of, once your skin gets a bit more leathery and you smoke camels for 20 years, you sound like Brenda Vaccaro, no one's going to quite believe you anymore.
You know, what I find interesting is I think a lot of people would say that there's a kind of a rampant desire to be clever in this day and age. And
where are you hearing that? I've never heard that. Everyone's out to be sincere these days. And being ironic does not preclude sincerity. Hang on.
There you go. I think you've answered it.
Douglas Copeland has given us such books as Generation X and Eleanor Rigby. Steve Paulson spoke with him.